This is something I want to help. I think this is an excellent idea. Many people are obsessed with true crime stories, either on television or elsewhere. And I think we'll jump at the chance of being involved in something very real here. Victoria Police has launched a new cold case hub. I've had a look at it. The idea, well, we'll go through the idea in a moment, basically is to get you and I involved in helping to solve cold cases. There have been a number that have been run off as a starting point for this. Often with a cold case, the police will think they're getting somewhere and they'll do a press conference and try and get attention to it. That at times leads to breakthroughs, leads to arrests. This is a permanent way of doing that. By putting it online, you can go to a cold case hub and you can have a look at the detail behind it. You can have a look and you're cutting through all the nonsense that you get in some media reports. You're getting to the very heart of what happened and what perhaps you might be able to do to help. The idea comes from an overseas trip as a Churchill Fellowship, which was carried out by Detective Inspector Tim Day from the Homicide Squad. Tim Day, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Where did the idea come from? Where'd you go?
So in 2018, I was awarded a Churchill Fellowship. I'm fortunate enough to obtain one of those. And in 2019, travelled throughout Europe and North America. And the primary aim was to investigate the operating models of homicide investigation units across the globe to look at how we might build our national capability.
Okay, and what did you find in Canada?
So in Canada, one of those little nuggets that often comes out of a trip is when I was with Toronto Police Service, they were running a program they started in 2015 called Operation Never Give Up. They'd had limited capacity prior to that time to really look at their cold case investigations. They had over 660 or so cold cases, so yeah. More than triple ours. And then they started running a online site whereby they would put their cases directly to the public seeking public's assistance.
Has it worked?
Oh, in Canada it certainly has. They had no capacity and almost no cut through in terms of their cold cases prior to that, and then it started slowly, one or two, three or four, five or six, nine or ten, and they're doing really well out of it now.
So you started running this yesterday. What sort of reaction have you had?
It's been fantastic. It's already, I spoke to our media corporate comms people this morning, and they indicate there's been over 50,000 views already of the videos.
What do you hope? Well, know what you hope. You hope you can catch crooks. You hope you can catch the killer. But how do you think the public will be able to help?
I think in one of the promos we talk about the fact that there's been significant advances in terms of forensic science and technology and the like, and they're all amazing and really valuable in helping us, again, solve these crimes. But ultimately we all know that it's about the public, it's about the community, it's about fellow human beings providing us with the information that we need. We know that homicide's not secret. People can't hold secrets their entire lives. Relationships change, dynamics within families change, and that by providing the public with that single source of truth and that one point that they can go to permanently and look at the details of a case and then simply click a button and go straight through to Crime Stoppers and provide us with any information they have, even if it solves one crime, that'll do its job.
It's possible with this different approach you're going to set off a whole lot of amateur detectives.
No? Without doubt.
Is that a problem?
And that's a really good point, and that's where we need to be. We start small and we start slow, and we need to be really careful about what it is that we put up on the hub initially. So we start with five. We triage and assess all our cold cases in any event in terms of looking at their solvability by putting them through what we call an unsolved review record, and they'll only be the appropriate ones that we can slowly put through that we think we can get our best, for lack of a better term, bang for buck out of them initially. And to try and also ensure that we don't get overrun in terms of our capacity to action the information.
Does it mean that on the cases that you're placing that you have some belief or hope that you are close to something?
We do. So the five that that have gone onto the site at the moment have all gone through that unsolved review record, and been prioritised in terms of their solvability. to be realists, we need to accept that we need to work on the ones where we've got the greatest chance to solve early, because we don't have unlimited resources to do otherwise. So we're really confident with these five that they have a high degree of solvability.
We've just had a caller from, in fact, we'll put them to air. Barbie's called in. Her sister is one of the cases that is mentioned here. Hello, Barbie.
Oh, hi, Neil. How are you going?
Okay.
Yeah, I just thought I'd ring. My sister's case is featuring, it's Fiona Burns and John Lee, two young kids killed at the border. We're happy that this is going ahead. It's been 30 years. There's always hope, and hopefully this will be the thing that gives us the information that we need.
Yeah, yeah. And that, which would be, I assume, we always say it's crucial to families. It is. It's crucial.
Oh, absolutely. It's forever on your mind, thinking why and how and who. Regardless of the time that's passed, it's always there.
Thank you. Thanks very much for calling in. Hang on, we'll get a contact for you. Tim Day, there were... I remember many years ago, Paul Delanis, who was former head of the Homicide Squad, a detective a deputy commissioner in the police force for crime, in charge of crime. I remember him saying to me on air one day, we were talking about crimes that he really wanted to see solved, and he talked about the murder of Maryanne Fagan, who was a woman killed down in Dandenong, East Malvern, in the late 70s, found by her children murdered in her house when they got home. Now, it was close to my heart because I'd been driving past at the time and saw the kids being let out and put in a police car, distraught, obviously. I remember Paul Delanis saying, I want to talk to the bloke who did that because we know who he is. We know he's out there. We know who he is. And if you're listening, come and give yourself up and you know, you can understand what he did. In some of these cases, do you feel confident that you know the killer?
If I could, I guess, put it into context, over 200 cold cases, many more than that in terms of our contemporary cases, either unsolved but close to being solved in the courts or going through trial and the like. I would say that in terms of our unsolveds, we are reasonably confident that at least half of them we know who the killer is.
So it's a matter of finding proof?
Correct.
Hmm. And is that what's happening here?
And that's what this is exactly designed to do. There's many, many ways to skin a cat, I'd say. This is a, as I say, just one of those, it seems like such a simple idea, but one of those little gold nuggets that you pick up on while you're doing your travels and you're looking at many, many other things from you know, digital forensic suites through to capacity, through to different ways of solving things. And then you just find this little thing and it takes us a little time to implement because of obviously COVID and some other issues and the like, but if it just solves one, that'll do. It's done its job.
This is, we'll put a link on our website, obviously, to this site, but this is Detective Leading Senior Constable Laura Colley talking about the murder of Jane Thurwood Dove. And this is the sort of thing that appears online.
Murder of a mother of three that shocked the entire country. Detectives tasked with finding her killer.
On Thursday, the 6th of November, 1997, at approximately 3:50 p.m., Jane Thurgood Dove drove into the driveway of her home address at Muriel Street, Nidri, with her three young primary school-aged children. As she got out of her car, she was chased by a man wearing a face covering and then shot in the back of the head. She died on the concrete driveway of her home a short time after being gunned down in the presence of her three children. She was only 34 years old.
Detective Inspector Tim Day is with me. What do you want people to do? How do you want them to use this site?
So if they go onto the Victoria Police website and they can just simply search cold cases on the Victoria Police website or put it into the search engines, they'll find what they'll see is the opening promo video and an explanation of what the site's about. And then attached to that will be a list of cold case stories. Now, the site's going to need some refinement and will continue to evolve over the next few days and weeks and months as we get feedback from the public. But they'll see a series of stories, which will have a promo video from each of the lead investigators. It'll have photos, crime scene video, a photo of the victim, and give a transcript in terms of what is known at this point in time and what it is that police are seeking. And then attached to that transcript will be a link directly to Crime Stoppers, where they can just hit the link and provide any information that they have.
And Okay, it's up and running now. Eventually, how many will you have on there, do you think?
I would expect that as a minimum we'll be uploading at least another two per month. Okay. In time, I'd say we'll be uploading cold cases, depending on it. As long as it remains relevant, we'll be continuing to upload.
I think you said, or perhaps Bob Hill said, this is the one source of truth. What do you mean?
So I think, as you alluded to, we can do press conferences, and they're very effective in terms of seeking public's assistance and the like, but what might be a 20-minute press conference that we'll do with investigators, myself or family and the like, you might get 60 seconds, 30, 60 seconds on the major networks at 6 o'clock. And the major networks, rightfully, will take the grab that they're looking for. What this does is allows us to actually provide as much information that we care to share directly to the public and effectively cutting out the middleman.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coming in. Good luck with it. Is the one in all the ones you've dealt with that you'd particularly like to see solved?
I think with the change of legislation, there's one particular one from 2003 that I'd like to solve from Juliet Crescent in Healesville. That's one that always comes back to me that, you'd like to think you've done everything that you can, but... that's before I retire. That's one I'd like to solve.
Who was the victim?
That's Maria Yan.
Mm. Why? Why does that one stay with you?
I think that it's solvable. It's the change of legislation in terms of double jeopardy will allow us, if there's new and compelling facts, and the director chooses or recommends that another investigation can be conducted, that's one that I think we can solve.
Tell me on another issue, and thanks so much for coming. What's COVID done to the... murder rate?
Well, it was last year we had a bit of a busy start, and then of course when we had the first shutdown, it our homicide rate halved. It then got busy again as it opened up to again about what would normally be the case, and then halved again during the second lockdown, and then picked up again afterwards, and in the end we're actually slightly up from the year before, but that can vary, you know, year on year, and this year it could be lower.
Well, good luck with this idea. I think it's a ripper. I hope it works. We'll certainly put a link to our to the hub on our website, and fingers crossed we get somewhere.
Okay. Thanks, Neil. Thanks for your time.
Detective Inspector Tim Day, 96 900 693 1313.